This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
And I'm Alex Cohen. America is at risk of losing its democracy. That's the provocative premise of Naomi Wolf's latest book. It's called The End of America, Letter of Warning to a Young Patriot. And it outlines 10 steps that would-be dictators take when they want to shut down an open society. Wolf draws comparisons between the current Bush administration and the rule of both Joseph Stalin and Adolf Hitler.
What started all of this going was a good friend of mine who's the daughter of Holocaust survivors, who, when we would discuss current events now, she kept saying, they did this in Germany, they did this in Germany. And I thought this was so extreme and far out there that I really disregarded it. But finally, she made me read some history, and I realized that she was right. She was talking about 1930, 31, 32, when Germany, we forget, was a parliamentary democracy, really a modern state, and through legal means, a group of people led a systemic assault on the Constitution and on parliamentary process and put various kinds of pressure on an open society to close it down. I started reading other histories, and at that point, it became inescapably clear, you know, would-be dictators, whether they're on the right or the left, all do the same 10 things. And I basically wrote down what those 10 things were, and I saw that I had a blueprint.
Give us a couple of examples of what some of those steps are and how you're seeing them play out right now.
Well, the first thing a would-be dictator always does is to invoke a terrifying internal and external threat. And often this can be a real threat, which the would-be dictator will hype or manipulate. So Pinochet invoked a real threat. In 1973, he told Chileans about armed insurgents, and there were armed insurgents. But then he used fake documents he called Plan Z to hype the threat and say they were going to blow up all this infrastructure. So that's number one. The second step is to create a prison system outside the rule of law where torture takes place. And often there will be the establishment of military tribunals.
And then you draw comparisons between that and what's going on now at, say, Guantanamo.
Guantanamo. Exactly. And so what's important for us to understand as innocent American citizens is that historically, once that is established, there is never an example in history of a society that creates a secret prison system where torture takes place that doesn't end up using it against its own citizens. In every case, they start with people that society sees as marginal and people don't care, but that once torture is established, there's a blurring of the line, and pretty soon the people who are being abused by the state are at the heart of civil society.
The word that keeps coming up in this book is fascism. And just so that we're clear, can you provide your definition of fascism?
When I say a fascist shift, I'm very clear that I mean that technically. I don't mean it hysterically. Technically, fascism has several definitions, but one dictionary definition is when the state starts to use terror against the individual in an effort to oppose democracy. And that's what we're seeing in the United States right now.
There's never a line in this book that says George W. Bush is just like Hitler or Mussolini or Stalin, but there's enough that after a while, there definitely seems to be the air of some comparisons happening there. Isn't that a bit extreme to compare our president to these historical figures?
Well, again, I stick very rigorously to the evidence. You had the Nazis unloaded coffins at night. We saw coffins being unloaded at night. They talked about enhanced interrogation, meaning torture. Karl Rove talked about enhanced interrogation, meaning torture. They said, you know, we've got to invade Czechoslovakia because it's a staging ground for terrorists. We said we've got to invade Iraq, a country we're not at war with, because they're torturing their ethnic minorities. It's a staging ground for terrorists and they hate our freedoms. I don't need to draw an analogy. The analogies are there.
But in a sense, aren't you, to a certain degree, fighting fear with fear? You know, you're making comparisons here to Stalin and Hitler. Isn't that a bit fear-inspiring as well?
We should be afraid. Look at Pakistan. It was pushing toward major democratic reform, and overnight, they rounded up the lawyers, they subverted the Constitution, they fired the justices, and now it's done. So there are any number of ways very quickly, under the circumstances we have now, the president could close down our open society. And I would say that he already has substantially closed down our open society. But quite apart from that, history shows that when millions of people rise up in a democracy movement to restore the rule of law, there's very little that can stand in their way. So we need a democracy movement in America.
Naomi Wolf is the author of The End of America, Letter of Warning to a Young Patriot. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
There are plenty of critics who take issue with Naomi Wolf's book, End of America. One of them is Joseph Jaffe. He's editor and publisher of a weekly newspaper called Die Zeit in Berlin. He's also a fellow at the Hoover Institution at Stanford. He joins us now on the phone in Hamburg. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Can you tell me what you think of this premise that America is currently in the midst of a fascist shift?
You know, we are all in the business of, as journalists and writers, in the business of hyping things. But I think that you can look at things that are happening in the United States, like the Patriot Act, et cetera, et cetera. But to say that that's like Nazi Germany is almost obscene. Guantanamo is an aberration. It's a perversity of justice, whatever you want to call it. But anybody who compares it to the Gulag or the concentration camp doesn't know what he or she is talking about. There's no Gestapo, there's no stormtroopers, there's no SS. The democratic liberal system in the United States is working quite well.
There may not be any Gestapo at present, but as pointed out in this book, there are private security contractors. You have incidents like you did in Iraq with Blackwater, and no one's quite sure who they're going to be held accountable to.
But
does that give you any cause for concern?
The difference is that we know about Blackwater and company, whereas nobody controlled the Gestapo or the SA or the SS or the NKVD. My belief is that writers and journalists or academics have a certain responsibility to the truth. But I think it's not a responsible contribution to the public debate and to the problems which we are facing in the United States with the Patriot Act, with the surveillance, with Guantanamo, to make these absurd comparisons, because in that way she destroys her own argument, as small as these arguments may be. Let me also make another point. America's cyclically gone through what we might call oppressive periods. And the first one was the Alien and Sedition Act of 1798, which passed some gruesome oppressive measures against the domestic foes of the then President John Adams. These horrifying events, like the Alien and Sedition Act, went away, were abolished. And that is the most important thing to keep in mind about how America works.
Joseph Jaffe is editor of Die Zeit and a fellow at the Hoover Institution at Stanford. Thank you so much.
Thank you.